Lisbeth, Luis, thank you for being here. You two are part of a group of 9 young adults who we've come to know as the Dream 9. You're sort of putting a face to the issue of undocumented people brought to the U.S. as children. Your stories are similar to that of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of young people who are either in immigration detention centers or have been deported. Tell us a little bit about yourselves.
My name is Lisbeth Mateo. I'm 29 years old. I was born in Oaxaca, Mexico, and I came to the U.S. When I was 14 years old with my parents in search of a better life, like many other families.
My name is Luis Leon. I'm 20 years old. I was born in Cordoba, Veracruz, and I was brought to the U.S. when I was 5 years old in 1998. We moved to North Carolina. I lived there throughout my kindergarten through high school, and then after that, just graduate high school, and I had to come back to Mexico because I needed to further my education and continue going to college.
And were either of you deported, or did you choose to leave?
I chose to leave in 2011 after I graduated. A last-minute decision when I finally realized that I could not go to college. No matter how I tried, no matter where I looked, there was no way for me to go to college here. And my desire was so big, that's when I took the decision to go back to Mexico and continue pursuing my career.
I also chose to leave and then come back with the 6 dreamers, including Luis.
Talk us through what happens that morning. You showed up at the pedestrian port of entry in Nogales. When you showed up, you did not have proper documentation to get back into the U.S. So talk us through that.
We showed up at the port of entry in Nogales. We had a letter asking the U.S. government, asking President Obama to grant us humanitarian parole, you know, because we're dreamers and we grew up in the U.S. and you know, realized that Mexico is not the place that we thought it was. And we were, you know, we fear for our lives for many reasons. We all have very different stories. But when I was in Oaxaca for a week visiting my family, I realized that it was very different from what I thought. I couldn't go out anywhere by myself. And so when we showed up at the port of entry, so basically explained that we were dreamers and we were coming home asking for humanitarian parole.
Did you think you would get detained? Did you expect it?
Yes, we expected it. We knew it was coming. We prepared ourselves for it since the beginning. We knew it wasn't going to be easy at all and that all odds were against us. Now, being in Mexico myself, 20 years old, my uncles in Veracruz would tell me, you can't go out after 5. They know your parents in the U.S. They know you were raised in the U.S. by just the way you talk, the way you look, the way you act. Everything just makes you stand out. So you have to be careful. And that was not what I expected of Mexico. When I thought of Mexico, I was like, okay, I'm going to get back to go to my country and be free. I don't have to worry about immigration, or, border patrol or anything. I'm going to be able to be free. And it wasn't like that. In fact, I got to Mexico and I had more fear in Mexico than my 13 years living in the U.S., and if it means I have to be detained, and then I'm willing to go through it.
We hear very little about what goes on in detention centers, particularly for young people. Can you share some of your experiences in the detention center?
We were treated actually a little bit different than the rest of the women. We were treated better at first. What we heard from the other women was that the day before we got to the detention center, they actually took all the women out of the pod where we were placed, and they kept us pretty much isolated. It was 5 of us plus like 5 other women who have been detained around the same time as we did. And so we were not able to interact with the women the way that most other immigrant detainees are able to. What we also heard is that the day before we arrived to Eloy, they painted all the rooms, all the cells in the detention center. They fixed the bathrooms. They made sure that there was clean water, although it tastes horrible. What we heard from the other women is that the beds are horrible. I mean, they were horrible for us. They were even worse for the women in the other cells. The water was actually dark. You know, sometimes you could smell something really nasty coming from the water. So we know that the treatment that we received was maybe a little better than the other women. It was still awful. We were not able to make any calls for about 3 days, so we decided to start a hunger strike, protesting the fact that our calls were being restricted. I was placed in solitary confinement for 5 days. It was just pretty bad.
Did you meet anybody that had been there for a long time?
Yes, I met a man in there that had been there for 2 years waiting for an asylum. And we can't believe it takes that long just to decide if a person is in danger to go back to the country or not.
And just to clarify, this is the detention center where the crime was entering the country illegally, correct?
Correct.
and people can be there for what you said up to 2 years without getting asylum or being deported, correct?
Correct. So we thought that was like why would you keep a person that just tried to come to this country for 2 years locked up like if he was some criminal and treat him like a criminal when he all he did was just look for a better life?
And in your case, your parents looked for that better life.
Yes.
Because you were how old again when you
I was five. I was five. My parents knew that the education in Mexico was very bad, and they just came here with my brother. My brother was one when we crossed the border in 1998.
So could either of you qualify for deferred action for childhood arrivals and get a two-year work permit? Have you applied? Why or why not?
I don't, because I had stepped out the country. That's what they told me back in November when after I heard that deferred act had passed. And I was like, I got so desperate because I felt like I was missing out on everything that I had been working for 13 years.
I wouldn't have qualified for deferred action. I mean, I believe I still do, even though I did step out of the country as well. I have not applied. We'll see what happens. We do have an asylum case pending. You know, we already passed the first step, establishing that we do have a credible fear. And now we just have to wait for that.
You were let out of the detention center. You're free to go anywhere. You're free to do whatever you want. What is your actual status right now and what happens?
We were paroled into the country. We were given a temporary, I believe it's a one-year parole while we wait to see what happens to our case. That doesn't mean that, you know, after a year we'll be deported. It just means that at this point, I guess that's what, you know, that's the process, right? Like they parole you back into the country for a year and they tell you, well, you're going to have to wait for your hearing. We're going to tell you, you know, in a week or in a few weeks or in a month. I don't know how long it's going to take for them to actually, for ICE to actually tell us, you know, this is when you have to go to court. So that could take a long time. That could take many years. So for now, we're pretty much in limbo. We have no legal status. We're just kind of hanging and waiting to see what happens. We have a permit to be in the country.
Could you be deported?
The only way that we could risk that is stepping out the country for just for now. We're safe from being deported because we have a pending case. As long as we don't commit any crimes, any violations or anything like that, we're okay.
The hunger strike, the detention center, all the attention, positive and negative attention to what you did, was it worth it? And would you do it again?
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, I think we are still in danger of being deported at some point. I mean, if a judge decides that, you know, we're not going to be allowed to stay in the U.S., then we could be asked to leave.
Yeah, I would do it again. You know, just I went through this. It was all worth it. I met a lot of people that need help. And just the fact that after 2 years, I have a chance now to see my family, even if it might be for a short period of time, it's worth every single moment of being locked up in some cell. It's really scary there. It really is. It's not a place for a dreamer to go at all. I'm telling, I mean, guys and girls, if they're in the U.S., don't step out. Keep fighting. And hopefully in the future, we'll have something going on for us, a better future. It's not about us nine. I mean, yes, I want to see my family. I'm dying to see them. I'm just thinking about going back to North Carolina and hugging my siblings, my mother, my father, my grandmother, my uncles, everybody. But being through this, I see that there's a lot more to this. It's not just about us. It's about all the boys and girls that feel the same thing we do just to get back with their families. And it's horrible because people are willing to do what we did and much more just to get back with their families.
Well, thank you both for sitting here with us and sharing your story.
Thank you.